it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, folks, we are pleased to be joined by one of the best goaltending prospects on the planet, two-time WHL Goalie of the Year, one-time CHL Goalie of the Year, the reigning AHL Goalie of the Year. He won the at 20 years old last year, helped Stockton to the Western Conference Final, seventh-round pick of the Flames in 2019. Without further ado, Calgary Wranglers goaltender Dustin Wolf. How you doing, Dustin?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. No problem. And thank you for moving around for us. We started in a parking garage before we went live. We moved you to a bench, and now we got you by a brick wall. So thank you for being so accommodating.
Not a problem.
Brick wall is a fitting symbol.
Exactly, yeah. Pat. Exactly. With the brick wall himself. So just to start things out, what's it been like moving to Calgary and having the whole operation move from Stockton, your home state, but now you're closer to the big club? What's that been like?
No, it's been really good. Obviously, the weather is a bit of an adventure compared to California, but it's pretty awesome to be, in the same facility, same building as the Flames, and you're one phone call away from just driving to, a different locker room. So it's been pretty awesome so far. Just be able to go to games when we're here and there in town, and there hasn't been any negative to it. So it's obviously been awesome.
Dustin, from your vantage point, can you see the advantage of, why this is a trend for American League teams to bring their affiliate closer to home?
For sure, yeah. I think it definitely makes things easier for the organization as a whole. I know last year when call-ups happened that, travel is kind of a bit of a pain in terms of coming from Stockton. There's no close airport and the only certain amount of direct flights to Calgary, so makes things pretty difficult, but now you just drive down the highway to the Sound Dome instead of getting on a plane, so it makes things easy.
For yourself personally, was there a bit of a con leaving your home state?
Yeah, there's no golf during the season, but right. Other than that, I mean, my goal is to play in the NHL, and I think this gave myself personally and everybody else in the team, get a better opportunity. The staff is watching you every day, and you never know what can happen with injuries. So you're right there, ready to go if called upon.
The team had a little bit of a slow start this season, and yet you were able to come out of it pretty quickly, not let it start to spiral. Kind of what went into that, that you were able to stop it early on?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just, I think we lost 12 or 13 guys from the team last year. So we get a lot of new faces trying to gel, and we weren't getting a lot of bounces early on, and those started to come, and additionally, we just started to bond more as a team and started to gel, and that's really all you can say is your season's not being won in the first five games, and it's all about progressing as a group and coming together come April, and so I think we're on the right track, and we got a good group of guys in the room, so it's been fun.
Coming off your year last year where you kind of, for lack of, without not giving you credit, but you kind of came out of the woodwork, seventh round pick, first year pro, were a huge part of Stockton's success. Coming into this year, what was your mindset like going into the year?
I think just kind of stick to what I've been doing, and every single year, every game is, it's my job to give our team a chance to win. And, if I'm able to do that and give our team a chance, I think I've done my job well. And, obviously last year worked out tremendously well. We had an incredible team, and, it obviously showed how far we went in the playoffs. And, that experience has been nothing but, wonderful. And, obviously looking to hopefully do something special again this year. And, I think we got another good group here to do that.
Just quick follow up. you know, obviously as you're growing up, Dustin, if you're a good player at the AAA level, you move up to midget or whatever it may be, juniors and the AHL. But goaltenders, they take a long time to develop, right? And just because you had a good season last year, obviously that wasn't going to be a seamless transition to the NHL. Is that hard to sort of be patient in a sense, or sort of trust the process, as you know, you could spend, as many goalies do, a couple of years in the AHL before you make that jump?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want to get to the NHL as fast as you can. You know, it's your dream. But like I said, like, it's my job to give a team a chance to win each and every night. If I'm doing that pretty effectively, I think, my chance could come sooner rather than later. And, obviously Vladdy and Marky have done an outstanding job, from last year and, this year as well. And, I'm just ready for whatever the opportunity comes. When it does, I'm going to take as much of an opportunity, take the reins as much as I can.
Last year, you had Thomas Spear as your goalie coach in Stockton. This year, it's Mackenzie Skapski. What's that transition been like for you, learning from last year with Thomas to this year with a different coach?
Yeah, Spearsy was outstanding. Dating back to COVID, I spent 3 months with him and his family and got to know him really well, and he became more or less just part of my family, and that made my transition to the American League pretty easy. And to have a great relationship with him was something at goal you want more than anything. And coming into this year, as soon as Skapski got hired, he gave me a phone call, and basically just kind of wanted to keep the same things that Spears did with me, and wanted that to be a smooth transition. So I think it's been outstanding thus far. Scapper's been incredible to me, and as well as Oscar, and obviously I think I've grown quite a bit over the last couple months with him, and always looking to continue that trend.
Dustin, what was that like for you when you were drafted the seventh round, going that late in the draft? Was that something that really, added fuel to the fire and became a sense of motivation?
Yeah, definitely. I think, obviously it was, I didn't expect to be sitting there for that long, but, at the end of the day, it was still one of the best days of my life, getting picked by the Flames. And, it doesn't matter where you get drafted. It's, all about what you do after. And, I think that I'm just trying to keep that trend alive is, it doesn't matter where you get drafted. As a goalie, it doesn't matter if you're 6 foot or 6'5". And, if you can stop the puck and play your position effectively, I think, your chances are going to come. And, just trying to stick to that.
Obviously, the goaltender positioning is kind of transitioning to taller goalies per se, and you're sort of classified as a undersized, smaller goaltender. And that's probably something that, a lot of people have talked about with you throughout your pro career and whatnot. But is that something that's kind of been a motivation factor or put a chip on your shoulder with, people telling you either you're too small or things that, may limit you, or is that something that you've never really paid much attention to?
Yeah, I mean, I hear about it all the time. It's, it's probably the most common thing that people say about me. And, I kind of laugh at it in the sense that, whether or not I'm 4 inches taller than I am now, I still do my job at stopping pucks and give my team a chance to win. So, at the end of the day, I think that's all it really comes down to. It doesn't matter how big you are. If you can do your job and be effective at it, it shouldn't matter. But, there's a lot of, people out there that think otherwise, and I'm just trying to show people that that's not the case, and smaller guys can do the job too.
You've been with Mitch Love going back to your time in Everett early on as a junior. What kind of evolution have you seen from him as a coach then till now, especially after he won Coach of the Year last year?
Yeah, his he was their assistant coach in Everett my first season. Mm-hmm. His role was obviously quite different. He didn't have, as much of the reins as he does now. And, but as soon as he, was named head coach last summer, and, I was obviously pretty excited to have a familiar face, coming into the locker room of, my first season. And, to have that relationship is, you know, it's been awesome. It's been, you know, smooth transition. I've been very fortunate with, you know, my goalie coaches that have came in, and, you know, also love her. And, you know, he's done a tremendous job of getting the best out of all of our players. You know, he's very blunt with everything. He gives it to you. You know, he doesn't fluff anything up. And, you know, I think it's just a matter of time before he gets an opportunity to, you know, coach the NHL.
I think Lover is my favorite hockey abbreviated nickname I've heard. That's great. Is that his nickname in the room? Lover?
Yeah.
Love it. All right. Well, Dustin Wolf, thank you so much for joining us. You can go brace yourself for the Calgary Wind, and have a great rest of your day, man.
No, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care. I want to discuss, Pat, one of the most interesting stories that kind of pertains to the AHL, and that is Nick Cicek, Winnipeg native, undrafted, signed a AHL contract, league minimum, last year with the Barracuda, coming out of the WHL of Portland. This is the classic example of it really doesn't matter where you're drafted, the work starts afterwards. And Nick Cicek was recalled by the San Jose Sharks from the Barracuda, made his NHL debut last night, and what a story that is. So I do know, you know, Nick is from Winnipeg, where I'm from as well, so I do know a bit of background on the player, and this is a guy where I would be willing to bet many had pegged him as more of a going to go the CIS U Sports route and not turn pro. I'm sure even for someone like him, getting an AHL deal itself was a massive accomplishment. He's now parlayed that into an NHL deal, made his debut last night, and, you know, what a success story just, you know, in and of itself. But what's interesting too is for San Jose as a whole, that's a huge development win. You've taken a player that was on an AHL deal, great find there to begin with. You have seen him kind of grow into an NHL asset, and now he's a player that's usable in your lineup. I mean, that must be a huge win for them internally.
That's how any NHL team gets ahead, right? Like, you totally can't just rely on your picks. You get X number of picks. Obviously, you can add or subtract from that number, but you know, generally you get your seven picks and per year, and that's more or less where you land. And you know, we've talked about some of the best NHL operations across the league. They find other ways to get their players. They don't just rely on one method, right? And like you said, here's a player, undrafted, comes in an AHL deal, earns himself an NHL two-way deal, and here he is now in the NHL in the second pro season. And it goes to show, you know, like we're speaking with Dustin Wolf on this episode, seventh-round pick. I believe there's only five players taken after him. He's knocking on the door of the NHL. And now you have Cicek, who is in the NHL right now as a defenseman. And that's obviously a more challenging growth path for a lot of young players to come up there as a blue liner. It's not like being a forward. And so it goes to show you that, you know, we hear so often, right? Like, you know, so-and-so went to the draft and he wasn't picked and he was in the stands and And it's sad, but it goes to show you that, you know what, your career is not over at 18 or 19, right? If you really buy in, put in the work, you take the opportunity you are given, no matter how small it might be, there is a valid pathway to the NHL. And Cicek has shown that already, and certainly Dustin Wolf. And, I mean, you can go right up and down the list across the American Hockey League players that fit that definition.
Well, it's funny because you're – as a scouting staff, you're evaluating the best 18, 9-year-old, whatever, you know, the ages are for that draft year of that year. If you did the draft 2 years later, you'd have a way different order, right? So, and it's funny, a guy we talked about in episode one, Felix Robert, he's someone that turned an AHL deal into an NHL contract. I'm sure he'll play an NHL game very soon. You're right. It's a huge market inefficiency. If you can get guys on those AHL contracts, overagers, you know, the small guys, the late bloomers, the guys that typically fit a, you know, a Matthew Phillips profile, right? Mm-hmm. Undersized score, whatnot. You take a flyer on them, one out of 10 work, absolutely, but it's a 10% shot. Granted, that's correct, right? So it's absolutely something that's, you know, more utilized in the game today and should be celebrated when someone like Nick Cicek makes that jump. Now, I will say, and this is interesting, when I saw Cicek was recalled, my first instinct, and it's not a slight on Nick, was I was wondering was, oh, is Merkley hurt? Oh, Ryan Merkley, that is. Is Derek Pouliot hurt? But Merkley in particular is a guy where, you know, I would have thought he would have been the first guy up, right? Nick Cicek, scoreless in 10 games in the AHL, got elevated, a safe, reliable, sturdy player. You know what you're getting with him. Merkley, Ryan Merkley's more of an enigma, right? So, Pat, we talked about this before we got rolling. I want to know your vantage point. Like, where are we going with Ryan Merkley? Is he going to be an NHL player sooner rather than later? Is the road a lot more winding than we maybe initially thought?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, we, you know, whether you're talking about hockey or you're talking about life, we think of progression as a straight line when it's more like a squiggly line. Right. And it's very, very winding, very unpredictable. There's a million and one variables that can come into play with young players. Merkley, I mean, obviously he's had his ups and downs as a young prospect, you know, going back to junior, but we forget that, you know, he's only 22 years old. He played 39 games last year in the NHL. There's a lot to work with there. Right. And, there's no one pathway to the NHL.
For sure.
You're Nick Cicek or you're Dustin Wolf or you're a first rounder like Merkley. Everyone has their own timeline, their own path. And I think that's where teams get into trouble sometimes is they have these very rigid definitions. Well, you're a first round pick. You need to be in the NHL by X amount of time. Or you're a seventh round pick and we're not going to invest much effort in you because you're only a seventh round pick. I think the smart operations across the league, they view every player individually. Really tailor their focus in that sense to what that player needs. And they don't kind of either rush or unnecessarily slow him. And so, you know, Cicek, right? Like conventional wisdom would say, well, you know, he was undrafted and we have to give him more time. But if you believe he's ready, then he's ready. And so I think that's the school of thought you have to look at with where you're talking about Merkley or an undrafted player like Cicek, that it's going to take time. And I think that the Sharks, you know, there's a new management regime in there now. So, right. So to some extent, what happened last year or what happened in the 2018 draft does not matter that much. It matters what's going on right now in the moment. If Merkley is ready, he'll get his opportunity. Until then, you just put in the work like a Dustin Wolf is doing or like anybody else has to do down at this level. And everybody in this league has something they can improve upon, something they can work on. And, you know, players that really buy into that philosophy, they're the ones that ultimately come out ahead and they're the ones that stick in the NHL long term.
It's interesting, too, because you mentioned the change in management. For all we know, if Mike Greer was at the helm last year, Merkley wouldn't have been on that elevator, right? Where like last year he split half the year in the A, half the NHL. From my vantage point, did fine in the NHL. You would think, I guess, sounds like thinks he's has work to do and is a bit, you know, raw.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, further to that point though, I wonder if the expectation was for Merkley to make the team. Like I feel like there was a spot there for him to take at training camp. But, you know, back to your school of thought and your thinking, Timothy Liljegren's guy where last year was his first kind of full year. And for a while you thought, oh my God, when's he going to be ready? But Liljegren, different than Merkley, but Liljegren was there since 18, right? Mm-hmm. So he was developing and there's a lot more runway, if you will. Merkley, you got to remember, yeah, is this his third year pro? Sure. But are we going to count the 2020-21 COVID year as a year? Let's call it a half a year because that's what it was, maybe even 0.25. But the point is, I think that there's definitely jury's still out on Ryan Merkley. I'll be interested to see if he's recalled. But I will say, given the fact that a Nick Cicek is getting that call over Merkley, is it a pointed message? No, I don't think so. But there is an underlying message there that, you know, you got to be safe and consistent in a lot of areas. And that's something Merkley has struggled with as an offensive defenseman. Let's move on to our prospect of the week for this week. And that's Hendricks Lapierre of the Hershey Bears, the Washington Caps organization. 22nd overall pick of the 2020 draft. He's got 10 points in 12 games this year. Six of those points have come in the last four games. He is on fire, to say the least. 20-year-old center. He scored seven of his points at 5-on-5 and then primary markers. That's the second amongst under 23 forwards. And according to Instat, he's currently rocking a 56% expected goals for percentage. LaPierre, as if I recall, was kind of, you know, up and down in terms of draft rankings due to some concussions and whatnot. But for him, he's been able to really have a strong start in the pros. Pat, I know you're located close to the Hershey area, if not in it, and I'm sure you've seen a bit of him. What have you made of his start to the year?
I see a player that's really starting to figure it out. Like, did that first, you know, 5 to 6 games, you could see obviously the potential there. Now you're starting to see all of it come together. He's figuring out the league. He's figuring out what he can do, what he can't do in this league. The schedule starts to pick up the pace too. So I think you get a little bit more of that momentum for a player. That confidence starts to carry over from one game to the next. Hershey's rolling right now too. Yeah, they swept the 3-game home weekend, took back-to-back games against a really, really good Bridgeport team. And LaPierre is, you know, he's an interesting case study in that last year he started with the Washington Capitals early in the season. And then he was one of those players that found himself in that no man's land between he's maybe not ready for the NHL, but he had to go back to junior. So he went back there, obviously was a dominant player. It would have been, for his development, ideal for him to go to Hershey last season. That was not in the cards. But he's certainly making up for that this year. And 22nd overall pick, looking every bit like that pick. You know, a real bright spot for Washington because, you know, just given over the last number of years as they've pushed for Stanley Cups, their prospect pool started to dwindle, which is to be expected. So to get what looks like a real win there with LaPierre, that's a big boost for that team because there isn't a whole ton of youth in that pipeline for Washington. So they really kind of needed this win here.
LaPierre is a victim of the stupidest rule. And that is I understand that the NHL-CHL agreement is there because otherwise there will be repercussions to the CHL teams and the smaller markets. Like, I get that, but there has to be some sort of middle ground here. You've got to find a way where, whether it's where you're selected or some sort, there has to be some sort of middle ground where you can get guys in the AHL that are too good for junior. And I mean, like, actually too good, or save the NHL for a certain amount of games. Like, what if you had it where if they play 20 games, you can send them back to the AHL? No team's going to spoon feed someone an extra 10 games in the NHL. It's all about winning. They're not going to just do it to move around the rule. But look at Shane Wright right now. How much would Shane Wright benefit from being in the AHL? And I just think that, I mean, we're due for another lockout soon. So I don't even know if this will come up in the collective bargaining discussions, but I think it's the stupidest thing. And it makes no sense for a guy like LaPierre. I mean, it's turned out fine for him. He went back to junior last year, 51 points in 40 games. I mean, I'm sure it was fine. But could you imagine how much teams as a whole would benefit if they had that option? Didn't have to be in this whole, do we play them the 9th game or the 10th game, whatever it is, or do we hold them off, or do we send them to a conditioning stint in the AHL and then bring them back up to, like, just stupid, I think. I mean, that's my opinion. You got to find some middle ground there.
2 points on that. You know, we just saw Brant Clark sent down by LA to Ontario on a conditioning stint for that very reason. Get him ice time, have him play heavy minutes. He came right down this past weekend, looked good. You know, so that's where teams can get a little bit creative there. And the point I always come back to, you know, we always hear about, well, owners and junior, that will be tough on the market. And there's no question it would be. But, you know, I always say that, you know, what about the AHL owners, right? Like, you know, when you're in the playoffs and the NHL team comes calling and they need, okay, we need your number one goalie, we need your top center and your top D, right? Because we need extra bodies for practice, right? And that's just expected that the AHL team deals with it, right? And, you know, so it's like kind of like, VHL, I've always said, has a little bit that middle child syndrome, in the sense that it's kind of overlooked and it gets kind of forgotten, but it plays such a vital role in player development. And I think you're right. I mean, if these young 18, 19-year-old kids could go in there and get that real NHL caliber development early on, I think it would really accelerate a lot of players' path to the NHL.
How many AHL teams right now are not owned by the NHL club?
It's roughly, I believe it's around 21 now are NHL owned in some fashion. So roughly about one third are still independently owned in one way or another.
Gotcha. That makes sense. All right. So let's move on to our team of the week. And that is the Ottawa Senators prospects that are with the Belleville Senators. You know, obviously Ottawa's young talent, a lot of it's been kind of infused in their roster with the big club right now. But there's still a lot of pieces. Troy Mann, their head coach, just got his 300th win. He's built a really great program there. And let's kind of go through, Pat, rapid fire, some of the interesting names and some of the players that could run out the edges of the Senators roster. First guy I want to get to is Ridly Gregg. I always hear this guy mentioned in trade talks as a guy where people throw him in and to a Sens deal, and it pretty quickly is vetoed, saying this guy is way too good for that. And I think with good reason. I don't see him being as someone that's going to be in the NHL for too long, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's a son of a former kind of NHL tweener, Mark Gregg, who's works with the Flyers and their scouting department. So you can kind of see he's from the very early age, he had that that high level kind of guidance, right? And he was one of those players. He came in during the pandemic season as an 18-year-old in Belleville,
right?
Played 7 games there, got a little bit of a taste of that pro game. He had to go back eventually when the Western League started up, but I think that was really valuable for him just to get a sense of, all right, this is where I need to get to, right? So, and then again, he was another player last year. He had to go back to junior and clearly was, I think, beyond that level. But finally now the Ottawa Senators have their hands on him in Belleville, and some injuries in training camp, but he's back in the flow of things, and absolutely, I agree. There's a future NHL player there, 100%. And, you know, you need to get bigger, stronger, but that's the case with so many players in this league. I mean, there's a reason that NHL teams and invest heavily, you know, in workout facilities for their young prospects, because that's, you know, almost to a man is one of the biggest factors keeping otherwise talented players from reaching the NHL right away. So, he's a real bright spot in that Ottawa system, no question.
How about Sokolov? He's someone that's been there for the last little bit. I think there's a lot to like about his game. He's got the frame and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be honest, he's a guy where I wonder, like, can he take that next step, Igor Sokolov? That's the real question to me, what I would think with him.
Yeah, real good head on his shoulders right off the bat, which is, I mean, that's such a huge advantage for young players, being willing to really invest and commit to that development. A lot of players, they want to be in the NHL yesterday, and it's not feasible, right? And right. So, you know, a player that can really get their head around that requirement and why they need to be there, and not just go through motions, but really embrace it. I mean, such a leg up on the competition. He's one of those players, and you know, he's another player that came in during that pandemic season, really kind of caught everyone's eye, even as a second round pick, where you had some expectations, but I think he surpassed them. It's funny. We've mentioned this before. It's going to be interesting to see where that season, that pandemic season,
right,
what the impact of that is down the road, you know, for players, either good or bad. But I like what I've seen from him so far, but this is that third-ish season. I know we, depending how you characterize that pandemic season as a half season or what have you, but I want to see him take that next step to go from a solid player to a dominant player. And I think those are the players where it's really telling in that third-ish season to see how much they can make that step. So that's, I kind of think for him, that's the objective this season.
Couldn't one argue that for him, he has to sort of enhance his game and maybe accelerate it in the sense of not necessarily dominating offensively, but like he's got to be able to kill penalties or something. I don't think he's good enough talent to be a top six player personally.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. When you're in the NHL, there's no time to learn on the fly, right? You have to come in and be able to be inserted in the lineup and be good to go right from the get go. And learning that if not finding a niche in terms of, you know, PK or what have you, at least be a real good, solid two-way player. That's what's going to keep you in the NHL. I think scoring and all that, that's what gets you to this level, but it's that final step. It's learning that other side of the game that's going to make you take that final step. And I think that's what a lot of young players struggle with, kind of transitioning away from what got them this far. But the ones, again, that can buy into that message, they're just so much further ahead. And I think that will be what you want to see from them. Like, be a dominant two-way player, someone that they can trust all three zones, any time of the game, any situation. That will be his path to the NHL.
How about Lassie Thompson? He's in an interesting spot, sort of like Heinola, who we've talked about, Jack Rathbone, where he's had, like, Lassie had a good stint in Ottawa when he had 16 games last year. He was good. I think the problem with him is he going to be in your top four now? No. Or is he better served? Bottom pairing or in the AHL? And I think rightfully so, Ottawa said, no, he should be in the AHL for the time being.
Play 20, 25 minutes a night, dominate in the AHL rather than playing, bottom pairing minutes. Maybe you're in the lineup one night, out of it the next night. I think it's a real smart approach. Like with so many young defensemen, strength is the key for him. I think it's not that, I think people hear strength, they think, put a player through the boards, but no, it's winning those battles, those puck battles. I mean, I've heard more players this year. It's been interesting hearing players more often, standard question, what did you work on this summer? Usually in the past few years, it was skating. This summer, I'm hearing more and more talk board battles, wall work, anything along those lines, net front play. So I think there's a
defenseman or just everyone. I'm curious. Defenseman mainly or just in general?
Both. Forwards and defenseman, but certainly, just a recognition that, it's not just about skating, right? Like, skating has gotten such and obviously it matters significantly, but it's really taken such a prominence in the last decade or so. But yeah, it's that ability to win the puck, right? And to play in those tough areas down low. And so I think, for whether you're talking about Thompson or any young defenseman, it's get stronger, learn how to use the assets that you do have, the size that you do have. Because that's what's going to unlock kind of the other parts of your game. And so that's a challenge, for just about any young defenseman in this league. If you are a little bit undersized, like I talked to Nick Beaudin the other day, similar right. situation, right? Like skates like the wind, skill to burn, but has to get stronger. And so I think players are buying into that message a little bit more. That's, hey, it's not just, I need to, skate like the wind. It's also, I need to play that little bit more of a gritty playoff type game. That will be what, buys players a lot of, like you said, runway to the NHL.
Absolutely. The last one here is Robbie Jarvinty. Sort of a similar situation to the other guys you mentioned where, again, there's a lot of young talent. There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of bodies in any organization, and there's so few spots. And he's only 20 years old. A lot of these guys we mentioned are 20 to 22 range. These are not 23, 24 range guys. These are entry-level prospects that are all sort of coming at the same time. Jarvinty was somewhere. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Pat.
Sorry. Jarvinty, he ran a little bit of an injury issue early in this season. Belleville's been absolutely crushed by injuries. So far in the first month or so. He's a young player. He got a little bit of a taste of the AHL last season, played, a pretty solid rookie season, 70 games, but another, kind of, I swear I've lost track of how many seemingly second round, first round picks they have in Belleville.
I know.
A real deep pool, but he's young. He's 20, has to get stronger. Certainly the potential's there. I mean, he's had good experience, back-to-back trips to the World Junior Championship. Was real dominant there this summer for anybody that saw the tournament, for Finland. This year, again, this is about getting stronger. This is about that two-way game. If you can do that. And I think certainly playing for a coach like Trey Mann, he'll have every opportunity to do that. But he's on the right path, but there's still a little bit of ways to go for him.
And the reality too, for these guys is they may be raw. They may have all these things to do, but the roster that it is right now and the way the depth chart lines up won't be that the way it's going to be the next 3 years, right? And people leapfrog people a lot more than you ever could envision, right? We would have never thought that, like, for example, Manitoba and Winnipeg, I think 2 years ago, no one ever thought that Mikey Esiemont would be possibly on the brink of becoming an NHL regular or let alone getting a call-up. So things change, and Ottawa's got a lot of good lottery tickets to play with there. But for today's or, you know, this week's episode, we're going to wrap it up right there. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Hope you liked our chat with Dustin Wolf. He was a very interesting character. He was very gracious with his time, so we appreciate that, and we'll be sure to catch you guys next week.